It's convenient to forget. A lot of good principles that a lot of people know about disciplining children. Can't seem to move it on up the ladder a little bit. This, my friends, is not okay. It's just one heart with a few roses. It's nothing like what I gave him over here. I don't know why that guy is not happy. I don't know what the problem is. He seems to be making a big deal out of nothing. Seems like he's just, it's not going to, like. Is it reasonable? Is it reasonable?
No.
Is it reasonable for him to expect you to have to get rid of that thing? Sorry, honey, that was my heart. Is that reasonable?
Yes.
And not put any more stuff on the shelf? Keep visiting? Is the kind of repentance that we were talking about the other night, the self-discipline, so that God becomes convinced that you really are best friends? So that God becomes convinced that He is your one and only, and that He really is your best? How many best friends can you have? I think just one. I'm pretty sure. By definition, I think you can have just one. Oh, well, God will be my best friend, but then I've got some other boyfriends over here that are... That's not going to be okay, folks. Not going to be okay. I think I'm making a point here that everybody can understand. You can feel it inside. It's like, that's not okay. Don't put any roses over there. I don't even want you to look at him anymore now that there was a problem. I don't even want you going over to their house for dinner anymore now that there was a problem. I'm nervous every time he comes around. Just get out of here. You need to just treat him like the plague. Yeah, we're talking about sin that way. Treat that like the plague. It is the plague. And God doesn't like it when it comes around. And He doesn't like it when you're being easy on yourself. Being okay with it. And God will be okay. So glad you're gracious. So glad you're gracious. It's gracious that upon repentance, thorough repentance, the real repentance recipe, it's gracious that He would take you back. Can you feel that now a little bit? That would be gracious to take them back. That would be very gracious. And if they just kept playing and not being real serious about their life, not really being committed, next thing you know, they want to go do something else. You see them drive by, that person's out in the yard again, and you see them drive by, and they're like, beep, 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 beep. They didn't do anything. Yeah, they did. It's that person again. And that one is, we're talking about the devil and his competition for God's bride. And how much we think we're going to be a part of God's bride. And we're not willing to follow the proper rules. We're failing the testing. We're failing the courtship. If we're playing games with sin. All of a sudden, the flowers, the notes... The garbage becomes garbage when this takes place.
Right.
So, how about this? Now, we're growing in a relationship with God. We're not going to be disobedient. We're not going to be listening to the devil. Probably a lot of people that like my big bag of candy here. I don't know what I'm going to do with it all because I sure don't want it. So, say you love God. You're living your life. You ever find yourself just thinking about God and how much you love God? All the excitement that goes into making Him something that He would enjoy. Can't wait to do this. Next time I meet with God, I'm going to tell Him, I'm going to give this to Him. You ever find yourself living life, driving down the road, praying, thinking? Do you have a real relationship with God? God doesn't like candy, don't worry. I'm hoping that we are smarter and figure this out. This is an object lesson. Are you so wrapped up in yourself that you would really just like to get all you can out of that God, out of that guy? You want all his blessings, you want his heaven, you want his money, you want his business, you want half his business, you want whatever. You're so stinking selfish. But you don't really want to please him. You're not really the sweetheart that's over there. And he sees you over there thinking about what you could do that would make God happy. What could I do that would put a smile on God's face? I'm going to go meet with God and talk to God for a little bit. Let him know he's my best friend ever. How much joy do you get in life? You'll get the greatest joy in life when you spend your time doing stuff like this.
Amen.
There won't be anything in life that can steal that joy from you. Circumstances will not steal that joy from you. Because you can turn every circumstance into something that puts a smile on God's face towards you. Any circumstance. All you have to do is believe God. What if you were doing this for him in your innocency and best you knew, God was happy, and then you found out that he doesn't really like the caramels. He doesn't really like that. I thought I was doing good. I found out that I wasn't doing as good as I thought I was. He doesn't really like the caramels. Are you going to get hurt? Are you going to get upset and think that should have been good enough? He should be glad I'm doing something for him. I did a lot for him. Or do you love God? Are you going to go back and be like, oh, okay, I'm so glad I know. Thomas. He likes the peppermints. Get him all the peppermints I got. These are all the peppermints I got. Next time you bring a gift, give him all the peppermints. Was there a command in Scripture for that? Well, I didn't know of any direct commands for that. But I was reading in the Bible and I found out that God preferred peppermints. You mean you're not the type of person that has to find a chapter and verse and be told that you have to, or you're going to go to hell, and then you'll do it, so you don't want to go to hell. You're selfish. You're selfish. God wants a relationship with his people. He came and he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He wants a relationship. He is the one who created marriage, and he's the one who compared it to what he wants with his people, that relationship.
Right.
He's the one who said all that. He's the one who gave you your feelings about how you would feel and jealousy and all that stuff. And he's the one who all throughout his Bible uses that analogy to depict his relationship with his people and how he wants it to be and how he's jealous over it.
Amen.
He's the one who told us all that.
Right.
Well, we can extrapolate from that nicely and find out that if we love God and we want to be a part of his bride, we want to actually be there at the wedding. And if he prefers peppermints, by all means, if I'm going to spend my money getting anything, it's going to be peppermints if I want him to be happy, right?
Amen.
If you're going to spend your time doing something and you found out that this is the kind of behavior that he prefers, it's what you're going to do. That makes sense. And you're going to let him know that you've broken any relationship off over here. You find yourself in that. You find yourself struggling with whatever from that other relationship. And you're going to come back in tears of repentance and discipline and let him know that that's gone. I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
And then he's gracious to say, I'll accept that. But if you come back and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'll try not to do that again. And then you go back and you do some more. I'm sorry, I'll try not to do that again. You're not imposing any reminders for yourself. Self-discipline is reminders. You want to use the I'm a human card. Well, self-discipline is the little thing that you can do to yourself to remind you not let your humanity get you into hell.
Right.
If you're doing all this without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, then all these little things are a part of the relationship.
Right.
But when the rest of the story, all the energy, all the work that that you're doing will not militate against that. It would be ridiculous for you to genuinely love whoever you're courting, love that guy, and have none of this on the table. Oh, but you genuinely love him. I think if you genuinely love, this stuff is going to be there.
Right.
The preferences are going to be sensed, sought out. Hey, does anybody, do you know what he likes? Do you have any idea what he would prefer about this? Hey, have you heard any, you keep your ears open. If you hear any preferences, God knows when he sees you running around doing that stuff, he knows you know how to make a relationship. And there's no reason why he shouldn't expect it. Hey, pastor, you got to think I would have a preference on this. Thank you for telling me. I just want to please God. I want to be a friend of God. I didn't know what he would say about that, but if that's his preference, it's not, do I have to? You got a chapter and a verse? You're not on the list for the marriage.
Right.
And everybody can understand why in this context. God's the one who made this context in the Bible. I am not creating a context. God made this context for a relationship with his people. He used this scenario. Over and over and over he used this scenario. And if we would just believe that he cares about his bride and expects from his bride what we expect from ours, and we would just believe that as if it was real, boy, we would be doing things a little more carefully. We'd be giving him all our, and then we'd be running around and we'd be trying to think of the next thing we could do. We'd be spending that alone time telling God what we thought about him, thinking about other ideas, things, Lord, give me, tell me what you prefer, tell me what you want. Here's a situation that came up. How would you want me to respond to that? I don't want to give that devil any attention. I don't want to give that other guy any attention. I don't want you to think that he has any sway on my life. He has absolutely none. What do you want? You can do that. You can do that. You can do that. And I think it will mean something with God. And I think you will be on your way to, oh man, greatly beloved. Because there's nothing more endear, not a closer relationship in the world than your bride. But nothing's more disgusting than an unfaithful or a inappropriate relationship in this situation. There is the opportunity for the best, and there's the opportunity for the worst. And with God, it will be that way. If they brought all the accolades to you, and you had all these nice little sweetheart meetings, and the courtship was going great, and you got all the cards, and then, I don't know if this one should be given until after you get married, okay? That one's a little bit personal, okay? But for God, it's probably okay. I'm not wanting you to go have a romance with your imagination about God. I'm expecting you to be able to take these principles and realize that God's not interested in this. He's interested in this kind of a relationship, in the things that he enjoys. In the things that he likes, which is all over the Word of God. There's hints, there's clues, there's principles, there's people that can help us. He tells us what he wants. You want to bring all the oblation. You want to bring all the flowers. You want to put the money in the offering plate. You want to honor him with your lips. You want to have the meetings and give him all this stuff. And during that meeting, he shares with you some preferences of his own. Some of the ways he thinks that it'd be good for you to handle this other relationship. Some of the ways that, I don't really like the way you're giving too much attention. I know you probably don't realize this, but it's a little bit of an extra attention there. And I think that, and he's kind of testing your loyalty, seeing how you are, whether this is going to work in a long-term relationship where everybody's going to stay in their place. Because that's what God's trying to figure out. And he give you all the smiles and all the stuff, but you're not doing what I'm telling you. That's going to get wearisome too. But if she followed all your direction and never gave you anything like this that was extra and beyond, something you would never ask for. So there's things that you would expect, and then there's things that you would expect, but you're not going to ask for. You're going to expect that if they love me, why are they just doing what they kind of have to do to make me happy? There's nothing showing up. Like, I would have never asked you to bring me this. This shows that you love me. That's very nice. And this isn't the cheapest one you could get either. That's important in a relationship.
Right.
The extra. So many people are so selfish. They want that man for what they can get out of him. They want his money. They want his goods. They want his house. They want the comfort. They want the security. They want all that stuff. They don't want his rules. They don't want his recipe. And they don't want it for any other reason than themselves. And most people think they're going to go get married to God and manipulate him just like they would that man. Sorry. He's a wise husband. And that won't happen. These are all very important things to consider. How everything takes place needs to be watched carefully. And these are important things to consider when considering a long-term, lifelong relationship. And that's what God is considering. A long-term, lifelong relationship for eternity. He kicked them out of the garden. He wasn't so gracious and absorbing that he wouldn't kick them out of the garden. He kicked them out of the garden. Something needs to be reversed for him to open it back up. He has to be convinced that this relationship is going to go better. In Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Why in the world did you bring that up? We're talking about husbands and wives right now. "Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And gave himself for it." This is just like an inseparable thing that's just woven through this passage. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." That's what he's trying to do. He gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, this bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing." If somebody just said that because they wanted to say that, because they wanted you to be good, and they were trying to whatever, you might have something to say. But when the Bible says that God wants this, you probably ought to listen. And if it doesn't fit your theology, and it doesn't fit what you thought God expected from you, and it doesn't fit your line of expectations, you need to change your expectations and listen. He said without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Amen. Amen.
Well, in this context, is this reasonable? We're talking about a relationship. We're talking about a perfect heart and a willing mind. And that's all you can expect out of your bride, too. But you could expect that. Honey, I don't expect you to know everything. I don't expect you to, you know, have it all figured out, of every little, make no mistakes, everything that has to do with being a wife. I don't expect you to have it all perfect. Okay? That would be unreasonable.
Right.
But can I expect a perfect heart and a willing mind? That is so reasonable. Amen. You can give that. So how many flowers can go over here? And you have a perfect heart and a willing mind? None. How much flirting can you do with that other guy and you have a perfect heart and a willing mind? None. How much resistance can you give to my preferences, my revealed preferences, and prove to me this is going to work long term? You're going to submit and everything just as, you know, the church does unto Christ. And boy, you just, the only thing you lack is more knowledge, but you have a willing heart, perfect heart and a willing mind, but you're resisting correction. You're resisting things because, can you find a chapter and verse? Is it a salvation issue?
Come on.
Is that going to send me to hell for sure? This isn't going to work long term. We're breaking that off. That is not going to work long term. There are so many people who claim Christianity that have that kind of an attitude towards God's Bible and His law and His word. They're going to get a harsh surprise someday. Mm-hmm. This isn't games. Will not be tolerated. Be holy and without blemish in your perfect heart and your willing mind. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Wow. That's a lot of affection from the Lord to the church.
Right.
He wants a relationship. But he has principles. They're reasonable principles. It won't work any other way. It's not appropriate any other way. Leave that other garbage alone. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Like, this is wonderful. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. The whole point of this passage. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. Good principles for relationships in the husband and the wife. But we can take this thing and turn it around and go, I can understand this one. Well, we should apply those principles in this one. Common sense. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguile the Eve through his subtlety. Think about that. That other guy. Not okay. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, I told you, Satan is in full-time competition for God's bride. He's preaching another Jesus, another gospel, a funner life, a funner home, with a better heaven at the end, with no rules. He doesn't care. He's a loser. He has nothing to offer except there's hellfire at the end. But God was kind enough to preserve his word and tell us the whole story about this guy. And we should be smart enough not to give him a lick of attention.
That's right.
Whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Brr. Revelation 19:6, it says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." God said that. God made this picture, one that we would all understand. He made the picture and then said, "This is like a picture of this."
Right.
Can we learn from that? Realize that we are in the stage where we are courting God. We are in the testing ground for God to be a part of His bride. We're in the courtship time where we actually have the opportunity to become beloved of our God. And be one of those that blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." And listen to what He says. It's really interesting. "Continue ye in my love." Where's the responsibility on that? It's with ye.
Right.
"Continue ye in my love." He has set the boundaries. His will has been revealed. He didn't hide it. He let you know. "Continue ye in my love." And don't forget, He wants a relationship. There's a lot of things that aren't spelled out in Scripture that have to do with your everyday life. Needs that can be met. Things that can be done for the glory of God. Ways that things can be handled. Don't forget that if you love God, you don't have to have a chapter and a verse that doesn't have to be a salvation issue. If you understood God's preference, you're going to stop bringing in the karma. When somebody says, "What you're bringing in, He doesn't like." "I thought I was doing good. Thank you for letting me know. I was just bringing the peppermints." That's a relationship.
Right.
101. Common sense. God knows that. He's the one who created the opportunity of relationship. He knows what to expect in a relationship. Don't pass up those opportunities where you can bring Him the best and know that He's smiling. Don't miss those opportunities.
Amen.
"Continue ye in my love." We know how to do it. We know how to do it. Problem is, we're too selfish. And that other guy is funny. And he makes me laugh. And it's hard when he comes around because his jokes are so much better. And he's such a clown. And, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize he was that funny and that interesting to you. So I can understand why you can give him some flowers if you want to. Is that the way he's thinking? Is that the way, think that's what he's thinking over here? Don't think so? You can feel it inside, can't you? Oh, you think he's funny. You think it's just that hard. You like his stuff that much. Get out of here!
Amen.
I thought I would help you. That didn't help anything. That didn't help anything. The devil is out there, and the Spirit of God is out there, and they're both convicting and working. He's throwing fiery darts into you, and God's convicting you with His Spirit. And He's watching which way you listen.
Yes.
It's not all your idea. You're listening to somebody. Remember that helicopter? Something's making you go. Something's helping you make your decision. You will make that decision. That is your decision to make. But you are listening to different options. And you're going, "I think that one looks funny. I would like to go with that one. I like that one better. I like this one better. This guy's..." And God is there at the same time saying, "Go this way. Go this way. Don't do that." And you're like, "Yeah, but this is better." How provoking, considering this relationship that we're talking about, must that be?
Yeah.
Have them. God's the one in His Word that said, my relationship with my church is like this relationship. And this is what I expect. And the spirit of the devil and the spirit of God are both at work tonight in each one of our lives. They're both at work. One is saying, get it right. You can do it. You can be beloved of your God. Calling you. It's so merciful for him to call you after all the provocation. That is so merciful for him to give you an option. There's a recipe. He's a man of principle. He's not begging you because he can't do without you. He's doing it for you. He's a man of principle. And he expects that when you recognize it, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to believe him like he's real. Just like you believe the devil like he's real. You believe telling that lie was going to be worth it. So you told it. Otherwise you wouldn't have told it. He told you, he prompted you to lie. Thought it was a good idea. Thought you'd get out of it. You told it. You believed him like he was telling you the truth. And God can expect you to believe him the same way. Jesus says, and rightfully so, if you keep my commandments. Remember I said, continue ye in my love? This is the next verse. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Why did he speak those things to us? Because he loves us. He's too principled. He won't have a relationship that's so perverted that way. You wouldn't either.
Right.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's the whole point of it. But he's a man of principle. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What do you think God was thinking? He's telling them, continue ye in my love. This is how you'll continue in my love. And then he says, and that your joy might be full. Continue. And then he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You think Jesus didn't understand that principle? He gave you an opportunity to be his friend and lay down his life. And I think he can expect us to lay down our life for him.
Amen.
Lay down our wants, our desires, our... Remember, a friend loveth at all times. Let love be without hypocrisy. He knows how to find out. Find out what God likes. Find out what his preferences are.
Amen.
The commandments are no-brainers. The preferences will be figured out as you go along the way.
Right.
Now you're on the path to being greatly beloved. And it's available to everyone. But there's not a lot of people who made it into that category. You can become, oh man, greatly beloved. Anything that any man on earth ever became in a relationship with God, I propose to you, is available to you and to me.
Right.
And I intend to find out. Matthew 22 says, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, now think about it. Talking to his bride, this is the great commandment for his bride to consider. He's telling you something. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He didn't say you have to do everything absolutely perfect. You have to have all knowledge right up front. You can't, you know, he didn't ask anything unreasonable. He just asked for all of your heart, your soul and your mind, a perfect heart and a willing mind, all of it. And you can give that. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But loving God came over self and neighbor. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you do not value and search all the law and the prophets because you think that Jesus came to destroy them or to make them null and void, Jesus just said in the last week of his life, he was almost done here on earth, some of the last instructions he just gave you the recipe. The greatest commandment that God requires of us. And that's to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And if you think that He's going to accept that you did that any other way than searching all the law and the prophets, you have your head in the sand, your expectations are off, and you're in big trouble. Because He said on these two commandments are built all the law and the prophets. Find out what God likes. Find out which flavor. Do you love God? Do you love God or do you love what you thought you were going to get out of your service to God? I've heard Daddy hit on this a couple times lately and I was afraid he was going to take my message. He's talked about it a couple times lately about how God wants a relationship. He doesn't just want your raw doing what He says you have to do. He wants a relationship. God knows when it becomes a relationship. He knows when you love Him. He knows about relationships and what to expect in a relationship. He knows if He's your best friend. He watches all your other friends and your relationships. And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I commanded this day, for thy good. For thy good. No doubt.
Amen.
You just have to believe. If you believe God's as big as He is, as it is written in the Bible, that He's got your good in mind and you believe everything the Bible says as if it was true. Which seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? But boy, it sure adds a little bit of ooh to it when you say, believe it as if it was true. Of course. Okay, let's say it's true. Let's make a scenario here. And this is what's happening. It's like, I think I would change a few things right. That's what we're talking about.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about. Believe it as if it was happening. We're closing down here. In Revelation 22, it says, and He showed me, this is God's offer to His faithful bride. He has so much good in mind. He has so much good in mind. He wants a relationship with you. I don't even know how to put this up here, right? You can read it. Is that right? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's all backwards to me. He wants a relationship with you. He does love you. He loved the whole world. He gave His life. There's no greater love. He is the man who's poured everything into the relationship to make it possible. He's the one who reached out and asked for you to start with. He wants that relationship to work. But He's a man of principle. And there's no reason why he should be having to compete with the devil.
Right.
It's garbage. And yet he does have to deal with that all the time. But He reached out to love you. He's the one who called. He's the one who planned the marriage. He's the one who's going to pass out the invitations. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is the plan of his household after the marriage.
Right.
He's talking about how his house is going to be ordered. He's telling his bride-to-be how it's going to be. It's going to be so good. Just do this and this and this, and I got the best plans in the world. It's going to be so good. Oh, but that other guy's funny. Oh, but he's... People, we provoke God like that too much. He's got a great plan. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things that must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings, the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. He that wanted to follow the garbage that other man offered, when the wedding time comes, can have him. There is no more offer. Oh, I'm ready to be faithful, ready to go to be in that nice household that you were talking about. I'm ready. Yep, I'm done. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. God will not be your fool.
Right.
He is a man of principle. He is a God of principle, but I'm saying it because we're talking about a marriage scenario. Don't play games in this relationship. The jealousy will get you booted.
Right.
It will. God says it himself. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And this is what I was talking about. Isn't that the most amazing promise you could ever ask for? Isn't that what your whole faith is built upon? That's why you were doing all this. You wanted God to come and give you according as your, every man, according as his work shall be. God knows, I loved him the whole time. A friend loveth at all times. You would be so disappointed if you were this faithful bride, planning for your wedding, planning for this day, and God didn't come and give every man according as his work shall be, wouldn't you?
Right.
You would be so disappointed. You would be so disappointed if the promises of all the judgment and things where you're going to reap what you sow and all these things that usually are given as warnings. You'd be so disappointed. You were staking your life on it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to give every man according as his work shall be. Most people listen to that and they all they can think about is all the attention they gave to that other boy. And they're dreading it. They're dreading it.
Right.
It's scary. It's scary to think about when that happens. That's because you've been giving attention to somebody else. You've been listening to somebody else. When the Spirit calls, when the tempter speaks, the tempter's funnier. The tempter's got the better jokes. The tempter is more fun to be around. He has nothing to offer. And behold, I see, according as work shall be, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, so they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things because he loves his churches. He's got good in mind. He set the whole scenario up. He planned the wedding. He planned the household. And the Spirit, here's what it says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. What is the Spirit and the bride? You know, when I look at that, I believe that that is talking about the Spirit of God that is working in your life. And the church is the bride of Christ. It is the call of God's Spirit, as opposed to the tempter, that's speaking to you tonight.
Right.
And it's the call of the church, the bride of Christ, who's speaking to you tonight. And the Spirit and the bride say, come! I think that's what it means. And the Spirit and the bride, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you. The master of the household, Jesus, made this scenario, set this up, told you how he feels about it, knows it's a scenario we can understand quite well. Knows he doesn't have to spell out this stuff. It'll come. If there's love, it'll come.
Right.
But he knows he can say, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. But he knows that if there's love, he told you about a relationship. If you get that relationship, it'll come. Look for it. And let him that is heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Digging out those wells of truth that we were talking about, the theme of the week. Redigging those wells, finding the water of life. The Spirit and the bride say, come. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Remember. Remember when he does. He that is unjust has no more opportunity.
Well, why wouldn't he want me? He wanted me. He called me all that time to be his bride. You know, surely he'd let me in. He said, surely that's what he wanted. I know that's what he wanted. He wanted me so bad. Preachers all over made it sound like he was just dying to have me.
Oh, he wanted you. He made the whole picture. He told you about it.
Right.
He has been greatly offended.
Right.
And there will be no second chance. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Right. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Welcome. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I hope that tonight you are listening like it was your last chance. I hope you are making commitments like it was your last chance. Because if God sees you waiting, like, no, I'm not going to do it like I got my last chance because I want a little more time with this other guy. And I knew if it was my last chance, then I'd have to get it right because I want what that guy's got to offer, ultimately. But we were having a lot of fun over here. You are infinitely offending God.
Right, right, right.
And that's the only reason you wouldn't make that decision like it was your last chance.
Right.
Pure, disgusting selfishness. And we can understand it when put in this relationship. Remember, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. I would like us to sing the song. I don't know if I really have the voice to do it right now, but I would like us to sing the song, Lord, you are more precious than silver. You'll find that in your scripture songbook. I don't know exactly what verse it is, but it's back there in the worship chorus section. Somebody find that number. Go ahead and say it.
102.
102 in the scripture songbook. If you know that song by heart, it wouldn't be bad just to sing it in a worshipful. I'd like us to stand together. And it wouldn't be bad for us to sing it in a spirit of worship. But you need to read the words, I understand. When you're singing this, I want you to think about your table before God. Are you going to see him under him as one that mocked? Joke. That's a joke. Think about that. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And if you get into a relationship like this with God, you're going to find yourself singing that all by yourself somewhere with your special time with God and really being blessed by that opportunity. Thank you for your attention.
Remain standing if you would.
I'd like to say that Christ will have the bride he wants.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that you'll be a part of it. Tell me, when the Bible says, because lawlessness abounds, what happens? The love of many shall wax cold. Because many are not caring about our Lord, because many are rebelling against him, because many are despising him, your love could wax cold. But he that endures in what? Hot love. To the end shall be saved. Elijah was very jealous for the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was jealous for the Lord. He said, they've all forsaken you but me. What did God say? I have reserved 7,000 who have not what? Have not bowed to Baal or kissed him. Even so, now at this present time, why did he want to spew the bride Laodicea out, courting lukewarm? Why did he threaten Ephesus? You left your first love. Right? I would say, as a commentary on all of us naturally, you'd be more apt to come to the altar if you felt you were in danger of hell than you would to confirm your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you felt like you needed to confirm your love, and if this was all about showing your love and confirming your love, you may not be as apt to come to the altar as if you were convicted about going to hell and you wanted to get saved. That's the way we are. But I want to give you an opportunity tonight to just come and say, Lord, I'm putting my heart, I'm going to bring you my heart. I want you to know it's yours. It's all yours. I want to bring you my heart. I just want you to know that I love you. I'm not going to bow the knee to Baal or kiss him. I'm going to resist sin unto blood. I want to be like Elijah, jealous for the Lord. Oh, you know what that meant to God's heart? That guy loves me. That Elijah, he loves me. He loves me so much, he's angry with all these people that are cheaters and all these others. I don't know if you've ever been cheated on in a relationship. It's an incredibly painful situation. It's infinitely insulting. And the feeling of, that you saw tonight, is the same feeling when Jesus says, I will spew you out. I will cut you off. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. You know what that is? That's love spurned. I don't know if you've ever felt it or not. Love is a powerful thing. I don't want God to ever feel cheated on by me. I don't want Him to ever see me bowing the knee and kissing Baal. I want to be jealous for the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There's not a one of us in here tonight that has not actually at some time offended the Lord because of stupidity on our part. Maybe we were caught off guard. Maybe we were enthralled in something that we realized insulted Him, hurt His heart, made Him think that we were not faithful. Or fact is, maybe we weren't. I want to say to the Lord tonight, I want to be your beloved. I want to be the one that you feel like is faithful. I want to be the one that you look down on earth and says, that person really loves me. How many of you feel that way tonight? Slip your hand down. Amen. Now we're going to sing a verse of invitation tonight. This is all free will. I'm not trying to pressure you or push you. That wouldn't even have the same effect, would it? But if you want to come tonight, you can put your hand down. Thank you. If you would like to come to an altar tonight and say, Dear Lord, I just want to reaffirm that you have my heart, all of it. I just want to come and just before everyone, I want everyone to know that I'm yours and I want to be yours and you be mine. As Titus comes on up here, we're going to sing a few verses. What song, Titus? I Will Be True to Thee. Which page? 366 in the Christian hymnary. We're going to sing 366 in the Christian hymnary. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to come and bow at an altar of prayer. And just do some business with God. Just let Him know. It's all. This is a free will offering. Amen. Go ahead, Titus. Ooh.